Thank you, Damien, and good afternoon. Sheriff's deputies responded to a report of yelling in the Hidden Creek Trailer Park in Trinidad at approximately 3 a.m. this morning, and upon their arrival, they found a 24-year-old deceased man. At about 10 a.m., sheriff's detectives arrested and booked 33-year-old Trinidad resident Larry Morrow into jail on charges of homicide. Detectives are still investigating the crime, and the victim's name is not being released at this time. Positive news in the case of an at-risk missing man who was reunited with his family on Thursday after disappearing for over a month. 33-year-old Ryan Grammer was last seen by his mother on December 15th after they got into an argument at their residence on Nedra Avenue in Eureka. Grammer left the house on foot and did not return. On Thursday afternoon, Grammer was located by family members at a bus stop in McKinleyville. The National Weather Service is reporting that a fast-moving cold front will pass through the region Saturday morning, accompanied by heavy rain and gusty winds. Rainfall is expected to last through Saturday night, and winds are anticipated to gust over 45 miles per hour along the Redwood Coast. Additionally, visitors to local beaches are advised to exercise caution, as ocean waves of 25 feet are expected along west and northwest facing beaches. You are advised to maintain a safe distance from the surf. Early this morning, the County Drug Task Force served a search warrant at a residence in the 2200 block of Walnut Avenue in McKinleyville. Agents located 5 adults and 6 children in the residence, and a search turned up 20 grams of methamphetamines, 36 hydrocodone pills, packaging materials and scales, and around $1,200 in cash. 32-year-old Valerie Dake, the mother of 4 of the children at the house, along with 30-year-old Casey Cooper and Ryan Hill, were arrested on various charges. Child welfare services were called in to take custody of Dake's children, and Dake and Cooper were booked into jail. Dake was later released on her own recognizance. Governor Jerry Brown unveiled his budget for the upcoming year today in Sacramento, and the spending plan should mean increases for education, social programs, as well as a chance to pay down the state's deficit. Governor Brown's budget will add more than $6 billion for education, and according to Rick Hanger of the County Office of Education, the news is encouraging. Hanger, who will be on Talk Shop on Monday to go into detail about the budget plan, said that Governor Brown's proposals enhance local control and, more importantly, will eliminate all deferred payments owed to school districts, deferments issued in 2007 and 2008. Hanger also said the governor has proposed a constitutional amendment for a reserve requirement for Prop 98 funding and to ensure a rainy day fund so that education funding is better protected against the boom and bust cycle of economic uncertainty. You're listening to KINS News. We'll be right back after this.
Remember your first job? Odds are it was with a store right in your own neighborhood. Now it's your kids hunting for their first job. It's great to have local businesses willing and able to hire local kids. So the next time you go shopping, please invest in your own family's future. Put your dollars to work here at home.
Hi, I'm Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai. We have the savings and we have the Hyundais. Come down and take advantage of this great opportunity with Hyundai and Northwood Hyundai, Eureka.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. It was just over a week ago when the city of Eureka and the parish of St. Bernard's learned that Father Eric Freed had been found murdered in the rectory at St. Bernard's Church. The investigation into Father Freed's death was immediately made a top priority by Police Chief Andy Mills, who spoke about the race to identify and then apprehend the lone suspect, Gary Lee Bullock. Mills addressed the idea that Eureka police could have done more to prevent the homicide, stating that his officers acted appropriately.
You know, and the question has come up several times. Could the police have done something differently? And the answer is no. We have a constitution. And the constitution says we have to have reasonable cause to detain somebody. And at that point, there was nothing we could detain this guy for. With this particular guy in the field, from a field contact, you're going to have one of three things. A crime being committed, or a felony crime that was committed that we can figure out, or a mental health hold.
Mills then pointed out that officers followed department procedures during their contact with Bullock.
And the officer went through all of those steps. I watched that part of the video carefully. He contacted the guy for 8 minutes, which is probably about 6 minutes longer than I would have talked to the guy. And he was talking reasonably. He was being courteous. He was answering their questions. And they walked him off the property and sent him to the rescue mission. And he walked that direction. And then they left, went to handle the next call. And then, obviously, he came back and was contacted after that by a security guard at the bathroom.
Bullock was also contacted by a security guard on the grounds of the church, and once surveillance video was available, was quickly ID'd as the primary suspect. And that's the news. For KINS News and Information, I'm Stephen Walker.